Now 10 o'clock, and this is Android Buffet, episode 134, recorded Monday, February 11th, 2013, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to episode number 134 of the Android Buffet podcast, recorded live Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Ooh, ask me for trivia. Ask me for trivia.
You have trivia this week, Jer?
For episode 134, I have.
Okay. Well, what did you learn about the number 134?
If we were Xena, Warrior Princess, the TV show, this would be our last episode.
Were you a fan?
There were 134 episodes of Xena.
Were you a fan of Xena, the Warrior Princess?
No.
Okay.
Well,
I knew it existed.
Her blonde sidekick was pretty hot, but Xena herself, no, not so much. And also, there was a TV show that ran from 1959 to 1963, so maybe you like it, called Hawaiian Eye, that also ran for 134 episodes.
Never heard of it.
Okay.
But we are joined by a special guest this week. Say hello, special guest.
Hi, I'm Tyler from Stitcher.
Yes. Last week we said that we were going to invite somebody from Stitcher on, and somebody from Stitcher showed up. We know nothing about Tyler, so everything he says is going to be a complete surprise.
Even if he says nothing, that would be a surprise.
Also a surprise, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was what the dramatic pause was for your chance to say something surprising.
See, I hadn't planned anything exciting to say.
Okay, well, we did get some email in response to our comment last week that we didn't know how many people were listening to us on Stitcher because I never checked the control panel. We got an email from a Daryl Bird. He said, I've been listening since the middle of last year on Stitcher and look forward to every episode. The casual banter combined with humor and relevant information makes for an enjoyable, easy listen. Keep up the good work and don't change the intro song. It's unique among the tech casts and does make me smile. We also have Tim Griffiths, who said, you asked Stitcher people to let you know we're listening. We found the show on there by searching for Android. I enjoy the show and listen every week. Thanks. That was nice.
Sweetness.
Yeah. Also, I do want to thank, I had it right here. I keep losing my emails. Oh, yes. Daryl Bird, one of the two people who listens on Stitcher, has joined up for our optional donation program at tin level. So in honor of that, we are giving him special mention. Thank you for your contribution. That will pay for several months of live streaming, which you're welcome to show up for.
Wow.
Yes. We also got an email from a individual of the subject of Google Reader, and that individual's actually in the chat room this evening under the name Lightning Welk. Greetings, Guru and Jerry, and Lightning Welk can tell me whether or not I am doing a credible imitation of his voice. I am a relatively long-time listener to your great podcast. My ears perked up when I heard Guru looking for an alternative to Google Reader. The one I can highly recommend is Feedly. It has a Firefox extension, Chrome extension, iOS app, and most importantly, an Android app. You can add your own feeds, you can have it sync with your Google Reader, and it also has a curated collection of feeds to enjoy many topics. It's visually appealing and offers additional features above and beyond the basics offered by Google Reader. Because it uses Google Reader as its backend, you can go from device to device without using your currently read status. The developer is very active and very responsive. Sincerely, Tony Miller. We don't always get mail. It's nice to get mail.
We got flooded with mail this week. It's a veritable flood.
Yes. We got from Daryl, we got from Tim, and we got from Tony. That may be a record. I think we've never gotten more than two in one week.
And a guest.
So, since we don't want to keep our guest, we're going to go directly to talk to our guest, and then we will get back to our regularly scheduled program. Which guest you are welcome to hang around for if you'd like to comment.
Sure. Sounds interesting.
Okay. Don't worry, we're always done by 11, except when we're not. Sometimes we're done early.
Sometimes we're done by 9 p.m., except when we're not.
Excuse me, we're always done by 9 p.m. in some time zone.
Yes.
Yes.
The same could be said for your last statement.
Yes.
So your statement was not very informative.
Probably not. So would you like to tell us what you do for a living?
I work on the Stitcher Android app. I'm currently in charge of development for it. So we, a week ago today, pushed out a major update, bottom-up rewrite. So now I just continue to work on that.
Okay, so what features are actually inherent in the new Stitcher app compared to the old Stitcher app, which I did use a little?
So the feature set is actually pretty similar. The major change there is it's an entirely new look and feel, and the entire app was rewritten from the ground up just to be, more performant, to fit in better with ICS, that type of thing. So no real new features have been added right now, but we are working on a couple new things.
Okay, so what do people such as Daryl and Tim, the guys who listen on Stitcher, have to look forward to? Because we know they're listening.
I'm sorry?
We know they're listening. They sent us an email
Well,
saying they were.
I'm glad that they're listening. Right now we're working on a point release, just some stability issues that we saw. But going forward, our listeners, a lot of them have mentioned like they want offline listening, so we're working on implementing that. Then other little subtle features here and there, trying to make it even better going forward.
And how long have you been working on this yourself? So how long have you been employed by Stitcher as their Android developer?
So I'm not the only Android developer, luckily, because that would
As
be a
the
ton of work.
as an Android developer, excuse me.
So I joined Stitcher last February, and we started working on version 3 around September. So it's been a year for me now.
Okay, and how did you get into Android development, out of curiosity?
Basically, Stitcher offered me a job to do Android development. It wasn't really planned out or anything, but I'm glad I'm here.
No, I'm saying prior to that, had you done Android development or had you programmed?
I had not.
Okay.
My first experience was at Stitcher.
What did you develop before you? I mean, Stitcher's not your first development gig, right?
No, it's not. I was doing e-commerce consulting and some iOS development before.
Can you contrast? A Stitcher has an iOS app as well, correct?
We do,
Can
as
you
well as a
contrast the
web.
development of the iOS app versus version 3, your ICS version?
So I guess if you look at the older version of Stitcher, it was basically our iOS app ported to Android. So there were just terms of interaction, just look and feel, all that was very, iOS specific, basically. With our version 3 of our app, we went, bottom up, like, how do we make this feel like an Android app? How do we make it seem like it's native to the platform? How do we take advantage of everything that, Google has given us with these latest versions of Android? So they're at this point completely different.
I see that y'all are looking for a Windows Phone developer. Are you planning on doing the same thing there or porting one of the versions that you already have to Windows Phone?
That would be another, bottom-up implementation native to Windows Phone.
So what's your IDE? Which IDE do you personally use?
I use Eclipse. Just, it's easiest. Everything's integrated with it.
Interesting. Okay.
I was just looking at the reviews of the new app. I wanted to see what the people in the Play Store were saying. So we have, let's see here. I'm just looking at the last few. Liked the app before, but with the 3.0 update, love it now. Stitcher was good before, but now it's much cleaner. So a lot of very positive reviews here.
Yeah, I mean, we really worked hard to make this a much better experience for our users, and I think that it shows.
Excellent.
So this is the first time we've actually interviewed a Android developer for a major organization such as Stitcher. We've interviewed some hobbyist developers. Not sure if that's fair to call some of the people. They are professional programmers, but their Android involvement is usually more of a hobby nature or a secondary job. So if you weren't, let's say, working for Stitcher, would you continue with Android development since you started it there? Would you, let's say, go back to iOS, or would you jump around a bit depending on what interested you?
I think right now, for the foreseeable future, I'm an Android developer. I like developing for the platform. There are still plenty of challenges there. The user base is growing. And yeah, I think it's really an area where I can make a big difference, whether it's Stitcher or somewhere else.
And I have to ask, is your primary phone an Android phone at the moment?
It is. It's a Nexus 4.
Well, I envy you on that. I never have gotten a chance to play with one of those.
I like it, except for the battery life. That's pretty horrible.
Define horrible.
It was fully charged this morning. It's been sitting on my desk all day. It's at 48% without me really using it.
It's the maps.
Probably. I mean, I actually turned location services off today, so.
Yeah, that's been driving me crazy. For some odd reason, everything keeps engaging the GPS and that keeps draining battery. But I want to know where I am. I think it comes out of Google Now because I've been doing some research.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Because every time I turn on Google Now, it knows exactly how many minutes it is to my place of business and my residence. So I think it's constantly trying to figure out where you are, which is nice if you want to know where you are. Right now, I'm 17 minutes from work. Nice to know. Not going back there now. But should I want to go back there in the middle of the night, it's nice to know that I can get there quickly. But you are welcome to hang around. We do have some non-Stitcher related stories. You're welcome to chime in.
Sure.
Is there anything you want to offer up about Stitcher? I mean, Stitcher? It's, let's say that I'm listening to the show and I don't know what Stitcher is.
Oh, that's a good point. I know we've mentioned it before, but somebody from the company explaining Stitcher to people would certainly be helpful.
So I'm probably not the best person to explain this, first of all, but in essence, we're sort of a podcast aggregator. We'll take, you know, a bunch of podcasts or, you know, similar topic and turn them into a radio station, essentially. So you start playing, you know, say Android Buffet. The episode ends and, you know, we automatically start playing, say, you know, Android Central. It's sort of the, you know, we want to be what radio is in your car. We want to be for podcasts.
So do you keep track of what people have listened to so you don't play it back to them again?
We do. Yeah, we keep track of what you're listening to so you only hear everything once. We also use what you're listening to build recommendations. We have a smart station that it's, you know, say I listen to Android podcasts. You listen to Android podcasts. You know, you also listen to, you know, This American Life or something. We'll recommend This American Life to me. Sort of the like Netflix style recommendations.
Good for discovery, sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, we're really, that's one of our core features is content discovery.
So let's say that I am somebody who does a podcast on Android, for example, and I want to make sure that I use Stitcher to the best of my ability. How do I go and tell people that they can listen to me not only should they come to my site, but should they come to Stitcher?
Yeah, there are a couple different ways of doing that. Yeah, you by mentioning Stitcher the show, of course, but we have a widget that our content providers can put on their sites just to, you know, stream the latest episode of their show.
I knew I forgot something.
Back to Stitcher and everything.
I knew I forgot something. No, I'll get to it. But if you're interested, of course, we are on Stitcher or wherever else you wish to be, since you can always download the show directly from us or from any other organization to which we provide it. And if we don't provide it there and you want us to, we probably would. But it's not, I have
but
to go and see.
If you want it somewhere and we don't provide it there, then you probably don't know about us.
Well, that's probably a good point. I'm still surprised people listen to us on iTunes. If only because iTunes is an Apple platform and we're not an Apple show. But one of these days I'll go and see it. Stitcher does have a dashboard. I haven't looked to see exactly how many people are listening to us. Perhaps I will. Maybe I'll report that next week. How many people are listening to us on Stitcher? I have to find the password.
I'll be curious.
I just have to find the password. I know they sent me one. But we do have some other news. Again, Tyler, you're welcome to hang around and comment should you wish to. We love having different perspectives.
Sure.
Okay. Did you know that Sony is announcing the end of the mini disc in March?
No.
Yes.
The mini disc.
You sound sad, Jerry. Have you actually
the little CD inside of a plastic case?
Yes.
Oh, I had so many of those.
What did you do with them?
I was living in Japan at the time, and I used them for jogging because the anti-skip on them was much better than a CD player.
Okay, well, they're gone in March. So, yet another thing. I think that nowadays they're not as useful as they once were. I know they're also used very popularly in radio stations.
It's just a tiny CD inside of a plastic box.
Well, if I remember, they were used for queuing up things for a while.
I don't see any way in which a mini disc beats anything.
I don't know. I know people were telling me
it was just a CD, but it held the same amount as a normal CD, even though it was smaller, because it held it in a compressed format, an MP3 format. So,
I don't have
any. I mean, it's sad it's gone. Yeah, I don't see 5 1/4 inch floppies anymore either.
Oh, you want some? I may still have,
I have some
left. I think I got rid of most of them.
I have 8 inch, I have 5 1/4, and I have 3.5.
What, no Bernoullis? Anyway, no zip discs?
I never had a zip disc or a jazz drive.
Okay. You're probably better off. I still
have. But are you impressed that I knew what you were talking about?
Yes. If you're interested, you can. Your local mall may still soon have a cell phone recycling kiosk. Have you heard about this, Jerry? That you can go down to the mall and get rid of your old cell phone? And they'll give you money?
Oh, well, that's bonus.
I'm looking forward to finding one of these things.
Don't think they'll give you a whole lot.
Yeah, but, you know, then I could make a little money off of getting rid of my Verizon V320 cell phone. I have a whole stack of
those. What do you think you'll get for it? Like $2?
I don't know. Maybe it's like Coinstar. If you actually agree to take in an Amazon gift card, they'll give you more. Let's see what else we've
Moving on.
produced. Freedom Pop, which I've mentioned is something that I tried and then returned, might actually move to LTE and release an LTE clip, which is a little device that you use with your Android or otherwise Wi-Fi-based tablet. So LTE might actually mean that this device would be more useful than the WiMAX version they've been distributing that didn't work anywhere. Of course, it's Sprint LTE, so it still might not work anywhere.
You know, I got
advertisement
from them that said 10 gigabytes a month for life for free.
What did you have to do?
Apparently, they were giving away they were doing a sweepstakes, and they were only giving away one of those. But of course, the fact that that was, you know, a contest was in the really, really, really tiny print. 10 gigabits for life for free was in the big print. Of course, it did succeed in getting me to pay more attention to the advertisement, but then just made me angry.
Well, that's advertising. But either way, eventually Sprint will build out its LTE network. And you do know that I'm technically by proxy a Sprint customer.
No.
Well, I told you I have that little internet to go thing I bought at Walmart. It also uses the Sprint network. Not the LTE one, but the traditional 3G network.
Interesting.
Yes. And that's all I can use, as long as it's within my allowance. But it's not monthly.
How much?
So. Well, right now I bought 4 gigabytes that never expires as long as I use a little each month for about $45. So I've been using it to read on my Nexus 7 when I'm out on the go. And I think I've used about 500 megabytes in 3 months. So I think it'll last me a while. Let's see, a few more things here. Oh, yes, Amazon introduced a virtual currency for purchasing apps, games, and in-app items on the Kindle Fire.
Don't use it. Use Bitcoins instead.
Well, this is just sort of the equivalent of, let's say, the Nintendo has their point system that you can buy points in. Xbox has theirs. So the idea is that you could get people these cards where the money was only useful within the confines of the Kindle Fire. I think it's designed for children who you don't want to give real money to.
Mm-hmm.
But you want them to stay within the confines of their Amazon store.
Yeah, I don't want to give my daughter Bitcoins.
Well, I remember what it was that Dilbert said on the subject.
I don't know.
No, that gift cards and gift currencies are essentially like money, only not as good.
Yep.
But it's worth mentioning because if you are an app developer putting your app on the Amazon App Store, then you can now prepare your code to be ready to accept virtual currency through Amazon. And you know that they're going to be giving out loads and loads of free Amazon coin for promotional reasons, Jerry, mostly.
Okay.
Slow night, I guess. The average North American user could consume 6 gigabytes of mobile data per month by 2017.
I think it'll be sooner than that.
I think it'll be a lot sooner than that.
Well, it depends on whether or not you're using it as your only connection.
No, says the man who spends his working hours writing something that consumes a lot of bandwidth, or a medium amount of bandwidth. It's not video.
But it's not mobile.
We actually do transcode everything down to a lower bit rate, so we are data friendly. Should point that out.
Yeah. You see, I think you also transcode, you also store a local copy, if I remember correctly.
We do some local caching right now. Full offline mode is coming. But, I mean, even then, I think the majority of my bandwidth goes to, like, Spotify, Netflix, on the bus, whatever. But I see that growing pretty rapidly.
Yeah, but I think that people are going to be having trouble doing it on some buses, just because you know that the next thing that's going to happen is they'll start putting Wi-Fi on city buses. I'm predicting we're a few years away from that. Wi-Fi is already coming to planes. It's coming to trains. So every form of transportation will have a Wi-Fi network in it. Maybe I'm overly optimistic about that. But should you be an Android user interested in hearing how the update of the operating system is going, new distribution numbers came out from Google.
Ooh.
We're now up to 13.6% of users are using Jelly Bean. 29% are using ICS. And 45.6% are using Gingerbread.
What about Eclair?
1 second. I didn't break out the Eclair numbers. It's getting lower. You know, it's right up there with Honeycomb. But let me pull out the rest of the numbers. I have them here. Here we are. Eclair, 2.2%. Froyo, 8.1%. Donut, 0.2%. And Honeycomb, 1.3%.
Well, at least The old ones are leaving. That's good.
Yeah, but we still have, you know, 2.3 at 45.6%. It's only a shame because ICS is such a tremendous leap from Gingerbread because of the long period in which they worked on Honeycomb and essentially ignored the phone market.
Yep.
And in famous people spotting Android phones, Kim Jong-un, the North Korean dictator, has been using an HTC phone, just like you, Jerry.
Yay.
Yes.
It's a good phone.
The Butterfly?
It's made by HTC, right?
Yes.
Ooh, what kind of... Oh, we did ask. He's using a Nexus 4. Okay, yes. Never mind. You carry forgot. On.
Well, the Nexus 4 is a nice phone. I've seen pictures. Unfortunately, I haven't seen one in the wild. I have been known to go around the local T-Mobile store, but since I'm not a customer, I feel guilty going in there just to look at the phones. Now, let's see. If you're interested in getting the Android operating system code, you can try out these links, which will be in the show notes, for the AOSP, CyanogenMod, and even the Linux kernel sources. You can try BBQSauce for browsing and searching the CyanogenMod tree, and Android XREF for the AOSP, the Android Open Source Project, as well as searching the Linux kernel. And here's one for you, Jerry. Google is working on their own private airport.
I heard that.
Yes.
Although I thought that was more for you than for me.
Don't you want to be able to fly to Google I/O? I know that you have a dream of someday going.
Yeah.
You could fly into Google Airport.
No.
No, you don't have a dream of flying directly into Google Airport and being.
I really don't have a whole lot of dream of flying. I've traveled enough in my life. I'm happy to stay here.
I meant flying into Google's private airport and being taken to your conference in a self-driving car.
Okay, now that would be awesome just for the experience.
And then after, you know, and then you can have the whole experience recorded on your Google Glasses.
Have you ever read Freedom and Demon?
No, but they're on my list. You recommended them.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel better, I know you haven't read any of the books I recommended either. But they're probably on your list somewhere, too.
That's true.
I have a pretty long list.
Google Glasses always make me think of the Darknet interface. Anyway, okay.
I don't think I want Google Glasses. I think the prescription cost would probably kill me.
Could be.
Well, no. If I want sunglasses, I need prescription sunglasses because I wear glasses. If I want, let's say, a pair of goggles, they make prescription goggles because otherwise I would not be able to see underwater. So I'm imagining...
And you can't do contacts.
And they always hurt my eyes. I tried them a few years ago. But I'm just imagining Google prescription glasses are going to be really expensive, and then you break them, and then you not only can you not see, but you're out a lot more money.
Yeah, but if you don't break them, they got to be awesome.
I'll wait until I see it in real life. I'm sure there'll be a Google glasses display next to the Chromebook display at the local Best Buy. It'll be yet another display where there's a poor lonely guy there where nobody wants his wares. Really depressing about the Chromebook, though.
Why?
No, every time... I do not patronize Best Buy that often, but every time I go in there, the guy just seems very lonely. I spent half an hour talking to him because he hadn't met anybody who actually knew what a Chromebook was before.
Oh.
I felt sorry for him.
I understand.
Yeah, and there were 10 Samsung Chromebooks sitting there returned 20% off. Anyway, moving along. Let's see. Another study shows that the Galaxy brand of cell phones from Samsung is becoming synonymous with Android. Out of the top 10 Android devices, 8 were manufactured by Samsung.
That's not cool.
Okay.
I don't like that statistic.
But it's true.
Doesn't mean I have to like it.
Okay. Well, HTC is unfortunately having problems. I happen to like HTC, but they haven't been able to get their head in the game. Speaking of Android statistics, Android accounts for 70% of the smartphone market and 34% of all phones shipped in quarter 4 2012.
How do those numbers work out?
What do you mean?
How can you be 70% of a market and only ship half that?
Well, they're two different markets. 70% of all smartphones that were shipped were running some flavor of Android on them in quarter 4 of 2012. That would be 30, and they are at 34% of the total smartphone market. So essentially all phones shipped during the quarter were running Android on 34% of them, and 70% of all smartphones shipped were, okay, that actually is confusing.
What this makes it sound like is that
now I'm confused about that.
All the phones in the world, only roughly 48% of them are smartphones.
I think the language here is a little confusing. I'm going to have to write a letter to the author of the story. He won't respond anyway. He didn't respond to my last letter.
You're one of those people. You're that guy.
No, that guy never called to tell me whether or not he ever made that t-shirt. Or whether he got that gift we sent him.
That guy.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy. It's good advice for life.
It is. But basically, this story here, which came from Android Central, actually says, and I quote, in quarter four of last year, 70% of all smartphones shipped were running some flavor of Android on them. What is surprising is some of the other facts one can get from their latest report, like the fact that of all phones shipped during the quarter, Android was running on 34% of them. How does that make sense? So 70% of all, now I'm still confused, 70% of all smartphones shipped were running some flavor of Android on them. All phones shipped had Android on 34% of them.
Sounds like a lot of feature phones were shipped or dumb phones.
Roughly 52% of phones sold are dumb phones or feature phones.
And the feature phones were also running Android or some form of it. Okay. No.
The dumb phones were probably running some sort of custom Java thing.
Yeah, but it goes again. How can 34... Okay, all phones shipped. Out of all phones shipped, Android was running on 34% of them. But then it says in quarter four, 70% of all smartphone ships were running some flavor of Android.
Yes.
Aren't they... Doesn't that mean the same thing?
No. All phones shipped includes 50% smartphones, 50% dumb phones.
So that would mean that some percentage of feature phones are running Android.
No.
Now I'm confused again.
70% of the 50% that are smartphones are running Android.
Okay. Still an awkward sentence, but...
It is.
Let's see. Ditching the old messaging phone for something more fitting for the 21st century. Anyway. And no, I do not write people letters regularly on grammar.
I think you should.
Well, I invited that guy on the show once. I think it's nice to have people from more reputable organizations join us. That would be Jerry Hildebrand of Android Central who wrote that article. I thought he would have been interesting on the show because he, unlike Jerry over there, actually likes Linux and happens to have a background in development, which Jerry does. So I thought he would be an interesting person to be between the two of us. Maybe I should ask Kevin McLaughlin to start a campaign. He got us our last guest.
Kevin's awesome.
Yes. He's our associate producer by virtue of the fact that he's very helpful. He also runs our Google Plus page. I'm sure you've visited many times.
You know, it's my start page, actually.
Really?
Not at all, but I can change it.
I don't go there either, don't worry. I don't even go to our Facebook page, and I think I'm the only one who has access to it. But, you know, you got to go where the people are. So if you want to follow us on Facebook or any of the other locations in which we happen to be, you certainly can do that. But I just want to take a break from all of this heavy Android news to talk about our sponsor. We do have a sponsor here, Tyler. I'm not sure if you've heard of them. They're unfortunately not Stitcher, although we do appreciate Stitcher, obviously, since we invited you on. They are currently Dyn.com.
D-Y-N.com.
Yes, he loves saying it that way. We've had them as a sponsor for several weeks now, and I'm hoping that our listeners know how to spell it by now. Otherwise, we're not doing a very good job of advertising them.
DYN.com.
See, that's Jerry's part of the advertisement.
Yes.
See, what they are is they are a managed services provider. They started out, again, most commonly known by people for providing dynamic DNS services to individual home users. Although, obviously, there's a little less money in that than their more professional services, but they do still provide personal services. They help people by managing their DNS and ensure that sites have the best uptime and make sure that web traffic to those sites keeps flowing. They offer features like global traffic management, load balancing, and active failover. And they have tiers anywhere from me, the guy who runs a couple of sites out of his home, such as AndroidBuffet.com, or big, gigantic companies who have actual money to provide their services. And they have more than 4 million customers. So if you're concerned and you have some sort of enterprise important business, such as, let's say, Stitcher, just for the sake of argument, I don't think that they have any affiliation with Dyn.com, but I wouldn't know.
We don't.
Okay, that's fine. But we appreciate their sponsorship. So if you were interested, of course, what you could do is you could go to Dyn.com/podcast30. And even with an organization like yours, you would get 30% off using the promo code podcast30.
Podcast30.
Yes. And we want to thank the people at Dyn for opting to sponsor our show and many shows on our network.
DYN.com.
And Tyler for not minding that we used him in the ad.
Okay, that's what I'm here for, right?
Yes.
No.
Well, you're welcome to come back anytime you want. We love guests. That means at least one person other than Jerry and myself are listening. So we're going to go through a few apps that happened this week and some articles of interest. Lifehacker has apparently endorsed WeatherBug as the best weather app for Android.
Boo.
What do you think the best weather app is, Jerry? Or are you just booting
Beautiful
Lifehacker in there?
widgets.
What?
I like beautiful widgets.
And I've been using, as I mentioned, HD Widgets as my weather app. Because not only can it give me the weather from WeatherBug without having to have WeatherBug installed, but it can give me AccuWeather, and it can give me Weather Underground. So I have my choice of three sources that I can switch between. For example, Weather Underground right now says that it's raining, and it's 44 degrees. Whereas AccuWeather says it's 43 degrees, and it's not raining, but there's light fog. And WeatherBug, I just love the weather, it's so funny. WeatherBug says it's foggy and 44 degrees. I didn't know the
Which one of
weather.
those is actually right, though?
I don't know. I thought about setting up a home weather station just to see what the outside temperature was, just to see how it would compare, but that seemed a bit too involved just to prove what the temperature was outside.
Have you ever heard the old proverb that a man with one watch always knows what time it is? A man with two watches never knows.
No.
But do you get it?
Yes, that's why I have an atomic watch. I also prefer to get my
That's why
weather.
I use one weather source for the weather, and I don't look at anybody else, because then I don't have to concern myself with which one's right.
Well, you should use what I have happened to have been using for many years,
I should.
since I bought it at a Native American store, the Ye Olde Indian Weather Rock. See, what you do is the weather rock is a rock that hangs from three sticks attached to a platform, and if the rock is wet, it's raining. If the rock is white, it's snowing. If the rock is moving back and forth, it's windy. If the rock is hard to see, it's foggy. If the rock is casting a shadow, it's sunny. If the rock is cold, it's cold out. And if the rock is warm, it's warm out.
Sounds perfect.
Yes. Maybe I should send you one, Jerry. It's been my faithful, most accurate weather measuring device for many years. Oh, look, elevator is in the room. Oh, nice. Hi, elevator. We occasionally have to say hi to people in the chat room. We want them to
We
bring
don't
their
have to,
friends.
we want to.
Well, we want them to bring their friends too.
If they have friends.
Everybody needs a friend, Jerry. But I cannot endorse WeatherBug as the best weather app for Android. But Lifehacker does, so that may say something. People seem to listen to them. Wonderlist 2, yet another of the endless amount of to-do apps for Android, has arrived on Android tablets. So if you need to be more organized, you have a choice of Wunderlist 2 or one of the other ones, but find the one that works for you. This is the same issue we have with Twitter apps. I found it interesting this week when Android Central actually put up some screenshots of different timeline views of Twitter apps. So essentially, they all in theory have the same functionality, but they took the time to show screenshots of essentially, excuse me, the same Twitter account as portrayed in different Twitter apps. And if you're having trouble deciding on a Twitter app, something that I know you, Jerry, do not have any trouble with,
Nope, no trouble whatsoever.
because you aren't using Twitter,
That's right.
makes it easier. But you can check out this lovely view that they obviously spent a lot of time on and had to install, what, 10 apps to do, which is something I'm not going to do because I'm lazy and I'll admit it. Although I do seem to do a bunch for the show, but only a little. Let's see. Electronic Arts launched The Simpsons Tapped Out, which was apparently originally an iPad game for Android. And it seems to have gotten very nice reviews as a game. I'm not really a game person, but apparently the premise of the game is that Homer accidentally caused a meltdown and you have to rebuild Springfield. So it's one of these city building games, but you are rebuilding Springfield, the town from The Simpsons. The only apparently annoying part that I can see is you can either spend a lot of time working with the game or you can give them money and speed up the game.
Kind of like most free games now.
Okay. But what's the point of giving them money to speed up the game? Why don't you just play the game? Oh well, I don't understand that type of gaming. I never have. Back to Twitter for a moment. Twitter updated its official app, bringing discovery and search improvements. And Jerry, I'm not even going to ask you your opinion of that because I know your opinion of Twitter. But people use it, so.
Great. As a service, it's awesome. As a company, they suck, in my
If
opinion.
there were people on app.net, I'd give them money. If that was the place that people went to do the kind of communication that Twitter offers, I would give them money if it was a reasonable amount. But since most of these social networking services rely on the fact that they're free, people don't come to app.net for some reason.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Plume, a lot of Android news, excuse me, a lot of Twitter news this week. Plume for Twitter was updated to version 5, with a improved performance and more. Now, this may interest you, Jerry, because do you know who the developer is for Plume?
These are the same guys that make beautiful widgets, right?
Yes, you mentioned
Level
them.
Up Studio.
Correct. So this is from
Ask me
a.
how I knew that.
I assume you looked it up.
I did.
Okay. Well, had you not looked it up, I would have told you that these are the people who made your beloved, beautiful widgets, which I do own, by the way, but I've been sticking with HD widgets because of the ability to switch between confusing weather suppliers in real time. Let's see what else. If you're a runner, Runkeeper has been updated with a new interface, workout reminders, etc. Now, I have a question
No,
that's.
Runkeeper works with Gympact.
Yes. But I have a question for Tyler as somebody who's been working on this recently that he might be able to chime in on.
I can try.
What, with the new idea of everybody converting to a Holo interface, do you think that
What?
that's actually going to become played out at some point? So everybody, Android is essentially suggesting that everybody move to their design standards in the Holo interface. But do you think at some point people are going to grow tired of that and try something completely different?
You know, I think what's going to happen is people will take that as a starting point and then they add little visual tweaks to it and, you know, sort of make it their own. But I think as a starting point, it's amazing because, you know, things no longer look completely random from one app to the next. It's just like, hey, we're all on the same platform. There should be some similarity here.
Well, you need to at least know the major symbols.
Yeah,
That
and you
was.
know, if I go into an app for the first time and it looks familiar to me, I'm probably going to keep coming back to it. It makes it easier to, you know, find the sort of hidden features there.
Well, I'm pleased that not everything is just a port from iOS. They have their own design style. Moving along, if you're interested in reducing the space of your images, you can try out this other app, Image Optimizer. So I've been trying this because I'm tired of sending people gigantic images and I might as well cut out some space I don't need. So I've actually tried a few apps like this that actually reduce the space of images before I send them off to people who I want to show them to. Because they don't need the full 5-megapixel version that my camera took. And if you are a developer, Dropbox has released a new sync API to application developers. And the whole idea of this is it aims to make it easier for developers to integrate Dropbox functionality into their apps, which many apps have done. And finally, this evening, we have a few more things to talk about, but finally on the notes here, let's see. There is a dev channel coming for Chrome for Android. So there's already
I'm excited.
a beta channel if you want to try features that are out of dev but not quite in the release version. But now there'll be a dev channel. Will you be installing this, Jerry, so that you can
I
get the
will.
latest bleeding Chrome?
Yes.
Does the term bleeding Chrome sound bad to you?
No.
Okay. Just wanted to ask.
Okay.
Are you using the beta Chrome right now?
No. I didn't realize there was a beta Chrome for Android.
Oh, there is.
I will hook it up.
We mentioned it on the show.
I
Maybe you
don't
weren't here
always
that
pay
week.
attention.
Maybe you weren't here that week.
It happens.
Maybe it was that week when you didn't show up. But apparently it's a bit hard to find in the market, but it's there.
I'll find it.
You can go
My
back.
the Google Foo is strong with me.
Okay, well you can always go back to that show where we talked about it. Just remember that the show notes are an invaluable resource. Everything we talked about and links to the stories on which it was based and links to various apps in the Google Play Store are available in the show notes. Those show notes, of course, are at androidbuffet.com. Now, we are a bit of a small show, so we don't necessarily have the resources of larger shows. So we occasionally go and stop to give something away. Now, I do owe somebody a copy of a Willy Wonka DVD. I'll get that out as soon as I get my label printer working again so I can try printing the postage at home, as I'm still boycotting the post office. Sorry about that.
Doing what?
They won't, I told you, they won't sell me stamps. Or maybe I told Matt when he was here.
Why won't they sell you stamps?
Well, I want sent stamps. They now only have forever
He doesn't
stamps.
want the forever stamps. What he wants are stamps that have a
Monetary value
value
on them.
on them so that he can add them up to make arbitrary numbers.
And mail out packages instead of mailing out just envelopes. So if you want to mail anything other than a first-class envelope, they do not have stamps at the post office. And I refuse to pay the post office shipping to mail me stamps. But I found out that through PayPal, you can actually print postage. So I've been meaning to try this. I just have to get my QL570 label printer hooked up. So you'll be the first one to help me test that. But I want to engage in another contest for another classic movie. I just happen to have a classic movie here. And if you send us an email with a picture of you enjoying your Android device and hopefully proving to us how much you enjoyed the show, of course, you can also send us a voicemail. I will send you a copy of the classic Bruce Willis movie Die Hard.
Ooh, did you hear there's another one coming out this week?
Oh, is that this week? Yes, I did. It's in Russia, apparently. But this version of Die Hard includes commentary by director Jack McTiernan and production designer Jackson DeGovia, scene-specific commentary by special effects supervisor Richard Edlund, subtitle commentary by various cast and crew, and a branching version with the extended power shutdown scene cut back in. This is an original DVD, which will hopefully work in your DVD player. For financial reasons, I will offer complimentary shipping to the United States and Canada. Should you happen to be outside of that, Jerry, I know last time you offered to chip in if there were high shipping costs. Otherwise, if we can't get sufficient ability to ship to you, you are welcome to chip in for your own shipping if it would be prohibitive to send it to you. Mailing will, of course, be via the United States Postal Service's cheapest method of delivery.
Of course, that's after you stop boycotting them.
No, I'm boycotting visiting the post office, not patronizing them. Ah. There's a difference. But it is a good movie. Have you ever seen Die Hard, Jerry, the first one?
Yes. Okay. Classic I have movie. All the Die Hards.
So do I.
On Blu-ray.
I bought the box set on Blu-ray.
Yep, so did we.
It was on sale. So I have
my... It wasn't on sale when we bought it.
I wait till it's on sale.
We're big Die Hard fans here.
The last one wasn't so good, though. The first three
I thought the last one was pretty good. Maybe it was much better than the airport one.
You're not going to go there, are you? What about the New York one?
I thought the New York one was better than the airport one.
Okay, but I thought the airport one was pretty good, although there were some inaccuracies. But they killed Colm Meaney. You can't not like a movie where they kill Colm Meaney.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he played Chief O'Brien on Deep Space Nine. They crashed him right into the apron.
I'm sorry, I didn't like it.
Okay, I didn't say it was the best.
The other three I really liked, and I'm really looking forward to this one coming up.
I would have said one and three were really good. Two was decent and worth seeing, and I didn't really like the fourth one. But it may just be because I really don't like Justin Long.
Could be. He's in this this one too, right?
I don't think so. I think in this one, if I read the notes, the sidekick happens to be the John McClane's son.
Oh.
Yes, in the last movie, Justin Long's character, whose name escapes me, was hanging around with John McClane's daughter, but he also had a son, so I guess the son is finally getting involved in the family business of blowing things up and shooting people.
Hey, why not?
Well, you know, they can do a whole new, you know, Die Hard, The Next Generation.
I don't see a problem with that.
I didn't suggest you did. But are you going to go and see it at a movie theater, Jerry?
We are. Okay. It's going to be what my wife and I do for Valentine's Day.
Watch Bruce Willis blow things up?
Yep.
And they say romance is dead. Anyway.
Well, you know, Bruce Willis is my wife's freebie.
Okay.
So, that's cool.
A few other things we have to get through just before I forget. We are a member of the Tech Podcast Network. That's a group of people who bond together for various mutual interests. So we can say we're part of a network. They have many other family-friendly programs. We are somewhat family-friendly. We're not graphic, at least. You can check out such shows as the Linux Newslog, which separates Linux and the open source signal from the noise. In this week's episode, Linux releases the Windows Secure Boot Fix. You can also check out Waves of Tech, available in both a video and audio edition. This week, they're talking about advancements in vehicles and Google Maps Grand Canyon. Check out that and more over at the Tech Podcast Network. And if you're interested in sending us communication and possibly winning that Die Hard DVD, which I will eventually, I promise, send out to you, possibly with a period of procrastination, you can send us an email. That's podcast@androidbuffet.com. You can, of course, send us a voicemail using our voicemail line. That's 2012-WENECA, W-E-N-E-C-A. You can, of course, take your voicemail, attach it to an email, or send us a link via an email and send it to that same address. You can use the contact form on our website to tell us how much you appreciate us. Of course, you can appreciate us using our Google Plus page, and we're sure the feedback will be sent over by our intrepid associate producer and talent manager, Kevin McLaughlin.
An all-round awesome guy.
Yes. I really enjoyed spending time with him in Charlotte a few months ago.
Yeah, that was cool.
Hopefully I'll get a chance to do it again. I know you won't be there, Jerry.
I won't be there.
But I'll miss you. I don't know if I'll be there, but if I'm there, I'll miss you. And, of course, other than that, we can, of course, try other ways of reaching us. The Android Buffet Facebook page at facebook.com/AndroidBuffet and the Android Buffet Twitter account at Android Buffet on Twitter. We're everywhere you want to be. So you have multiple ways of getting a hold of us, so you have no excuse not to tell us that you appreciate us. And if you go that extra mile of sending us a voicemail, which we will play on the show, or an email with a picture of you enjoying your device, which of course we will put into our show notes so everybody can appreciate it, then you may get this DVD. And I'm warning you, I already have another DVD sitting here that I might give away in the future. So if you miss the Die Hard DVD, there may be another one coming. Tyler, by the way, this is how I get rid of the stuff that I've replaced with Blu-ray.
You got to do it somehow.
Well, you know, I want to give it a good home. And I figure if somebody writes into the show in order to watch the movie, then they're going to give it a good home. I have a box full of stuff that I'd love to get rid of. If anybody would like to come and claim it, I'll be happy to give it to you free of charge. Anyway, on that note, that starts to bring us to the end of our program. Jerry, do you have any final thoughts to send to our studio audience before we conclude for the evening?
Y'all be good now, you hear?
And I want to thank our special guest, who hopefully we have not scared off.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay. Well, I know you have other podcasts to do. So I want to thank you for taking the time to visit our little podcast. Feel free to stop.
Thanks for having me.
Feel free to stop by anytime. Remember, if you don't want to stop by as a guest, you can, of course, stop by our chat room, which is on Freenode IRC in the Android Buffet Room, and we have a web chat on our site. You can also tune in live. We stream this, so it's accessible from your Android device live as it occurs at 10 p.m. on Mondays Eastern. You can do that by visiting the androidbuffet.com/live page. That, of course, should work on any Android and or non-Android device. And, of course,
in theory.
Well, if it doesn't work, please tell us and we'll try to fix it. And, of course, should you want to catch us after the fact, you have your choice. You may download the episode using our feeds. You may visit us on iTunes, as I know people do it. I don't fault you for it. You're there. And, of course, just so I don't forget and I have to remember to put up a link to it, you can, of course, use Stitcher Radio. Can I get an amen, Tyler?
You can use Stitcher Radio. It's the best way to listen to it.
If not live.
In my, of course, unbiased opinion.
If not live. I'm going to go with the best way to listen to the show if you're available at 10 p.m. live. Otherwise, you can catch it using Stitcher on a repeat. We also, of course, offer repeats on our live channel. I haven't updated it in a while, but the show repeats over and over again. But then you don't get the benefit of listening to shows other than this one. And as much as I enjoy doing this show every week, if I had to listen to the same show repeating over and over again, I'd probably get bored too. So if you want to listen to our show interspersed with other shows and you don't want to go through all the work of assembling your own playlist, let Stitcher help you find shows to add to your playlist.
Or let Stitcher manage your playlist, apparently.
That's good too. So I think we've run out of things to talk about this week. Fortunately, there will probably be additional Android news between now and next Monday that we'll talk about. If not, there's always plenty of secondary topics. Isn't that
squirrel.
Right?
Squirrel.
Yes. We do like squirrels on the show. And that brings us to the end of the show, unless anybody has any final thoughts or wants to say hello to anybody.
Hi, Mom.
Tyler, do you want to say hello to anybody out there in Radioland?
No, I don't think my mom's listening.
Well, don't feel bad about it. My mother doesn't listen either. And she has an Android device. And I programmed it into her phone. And her Kindle Fire. Oh, well. Worth a shot. I should have set it as her ringtone. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program after that thought. And again, if you're interested in visiting the Android Buffet chat room when the show isn't on, remember it is open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But don't expect to see us there, although I'm often lurking in there during the week. So if you happen to leave a message, I will get back to you as soon as possible. So there's another way to get hold of me if you're bored. And I believe that brings us to 1 hour, and I promised Tyler we would be out of here by 11. I said the show
last night. So you purposely made it incorrect.
What?
You took until 11, which means we're not out of here by 11.
No, I said that the show ended at 11, and it's now 11, so we'll end the show.
All right.
Okay, Jerry, I will see you next week. Tyler, nice meeting
Tyler,
you.
Tyler, it was nice stranger. Meeting you, man.
Yes. Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Okay, and come again.
Oh, I will.
When nice Stitcher reaches version 4.0.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, and good night, everybody.